I've had the privilege of pastoring now for almost 25 years, and I come across these Sundays where it's not a bad thing, but there are Sundays throughout the calendar year where we are preoccupied with thoughts and ideas and intentions. You find that Sundays like Mother's Day or Father's Day or 4th of July weekend or Thanksgiving Sunday, that if you're not careful, you'll be preoccupied with the good and you'll miss God. And this morning, I'm thankful that we live in this wonderful nation that allows us to not just frame what we have with our Lord and Savior as a religion, but as a relationship. And this morning, it would be, man, remiss of us just to go through the moments, go through it all, and not have our eyes upon Him. And so you're here this morning, my wife is gonna sing the verse of that song, Through It All. And there is a moment here in the next 60 to 90 seconds where we can cast off the distractions that are in our life, the things that are, and distractions aren't just bad things, distractions can be good things. And we're gonna cast off the distractions to say, Lord, never allow my gaze, my eyesight, my eye line to be off of you and onto something else. And so when we say through it all this morning, I want us to say through it all, being preoccupied with a lot of things this week and good, and just say, Lord, we just need your presence here today. So if you're a believer in this room, would you stretch up your hands as high as you can get them? It's just a sign of a surrender. And just say, Lord, our eyes are on you this morning. You guys could be seated this morning. This morning, we're gonna take our ministry moment here and do something a little bit different. I'm gonna take about the next 5 to 7 minutes and set up communion, and then halftime of our ministry moment, we're gonna have some communion together as a family. And then after we have communion together as a family, I'll get up and give part B of this devotion. But I want my wife and the worship team just to stay close, because in the next just few moments, I'm gonna have them come up, or at least my wife come up, as we get ready and take communion as a family. But I just wanna say, and happy 4th of July weekend. What an incredible nation that we live in. I wanna thank everybody in this room. If you served in the military, active or retired, this pastor thanks you, because it's people like you that allow us to have a nation like this. Yeah, would you give all of our veterans a big round of applause? Active military, we just wanna say thank you. It means so much to this pastor that one of the things that we've done is we are in the process of dedicating a wall in our lobby to those that have served, are serving and have served, and veterans, active duty, and first responders, a wall of heroes. And so a lot of times, and I get this, veterans and active duty and first responders aren't gonna nominate themselves. It's just the nature of who they are, unless they've got a strong spouse that says you need to do it. But if you know somebody in our church or connected to our church, maybe you have a grandson, a granddaughter, maybe a spouse of yours that has passed away, I want a wall that's represented in our church every Sunday that people can walk in and remember the sacrifice of people that make churches like this all over America possible. And so if you walk out directly to stage left, you'll see an American flag that's gonna stay permanently there, some medallions of those different kinds of branches of our military. and then a rotating screen. And right now, if you walk by, you'll be captivated by the many people that are already up there that you probably didn't even know were serving or have served in the military. And we're going to have a special place out there for those that are in active duty. I believe that those that are serving overseas need prayers every day as a church. And that's one of the prayer points that I pray as a pastor, is that those that are serving on our behalf that are in active duty, that are connected to our church, that God's hand of protection would be on them. And again, we want to say just a big warm thank you for those of you guys that fall into those categories. And we're so thankful for a community that honors the veterans, active duty, and first responders. One more time, would you guys give them a big round of applause and thank them for their service? My thoughts, like a lot of your thoughts, have been towards what does 250 years of being an American or having the United States of America exist, what does that actually mean? And some of the times I'll ask myself when I'm in curiosity mode or scientific mode, I wonder what the disciples or someone like Apostle Paul would have said if he were to tour America, this incredible experience that is America, and what would he say about it? And I found this interesting passage of scripture looking through this lens this morning that's gonna lead us to communion in part one, but some thoughts about living in America and our country at part B. And I just wanted to read this story that's found in Acts chapter 17. I've read it 1,000 times, but never with the lens of, I wonder what the Apostle Paul would do if he was walking through America today. And so the story goes, in verse 16 in chapter 17, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit provoked within him as he saw that that city was full of idols. Previously, they're talking about a partnership between Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and Paul found himself in this great world city called Athens, where people like Plato or Socrates came from. They were inquisitive of their mind. The Bible even says in a few verses later that they were always consumed with something new, a new philosophy, a new something. And Paul walks into this great city, as you might imagine, the America of its day. And the Bible says that God began to speak to him because this city had become full of many idols. In some ways that God speaks to us as believers, as he begins to provoke our spirit. Verse 17, so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. I love this idea that Paul didn't wait for his partners, Silas and Timothy. He wasn't wasting any days. He was on mission. If it was just him alone, he recognized that he was called of God to impact nations and cities that he was a part of. Verse number 18, the Bible says that he didn't just engage with Jews and devout persons in the marketplace. Verse 18, some of the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, what does this babbler wish to say? That's what some of you guys say about my preaching. Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus or Mars Hill, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you are representing? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to therefore now know what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing of something new. This incredible story is unfolding in scripture. So Paul has the opportunity to stand in front of this nation city, and he's standing in the midst of Mars Hill, and here's what he says. He says, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the many objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. And I love this idea that Paul, he splits off with this idea of religion, and being religious is not the same as having a relationship and worshiping. And if we're not careful, 250 years in this great experiment that is the United States of America, people will be able to walk our states, our cities, and communities and perceive that we are religious, but we've lost our relationship. They'll perceive that we have a form of godliness, but if we're not careful, we'll deny the very power of God that is for the saving of our souls. And as I've been reflecting on this incredible moment in American history, and we're gonna talk about this in just in a few moments after the communion, I wanted to pause here and I wanted to frame something to you, especially those of us that believe in the ideals and the foundations of this wonderful nation, that if we're not careful as a country, we'll become very religious and we'll lose the personal relationship that makes this incredible nation really truly what it's become. If we forget God or we put God in a box and we put him next to the many idols that America has raised up, if we're not careful, the blessing that this nation has walked under will be no more. And so this morning, we're thankful. But I just wanted to spend this moment in communion that we have together as my wife comes back to the keyboard. And I wanted us to take this communion this morning with the idea or with the lens that if I'm not careful, I will become religious, but I'll neglect the relationship that I'm supposed to have with my Heavenly Father. My pastor would describe it as being married on paper, but being divorced in our heart. And if we're not careful, we'll have the form of relationship, but we'll deny the actual relationship that Jesus came to die for. Jesus is the bridge that allows us to go, as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, boldly before the throne of grace. And this morning, I wanted us to have a solemn moment with communion, remembering and recognizing what Jesus did is that he did not pave a way so that we could have a great country, so that we could have a form of godliness, but he paved the way so that we can have a real relationship through him with our Heavenly Father. And I'm thankful this morning that we live in a nation that I can proclaim behind a pulpit, that we celebrate what America is and we honor what America has become, but America is not something that we worship. Jesus is what we worship, and we're allowed to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father because of the price that was paid so that we can be able to do so. So you're here this morning and you hear your pastor's heart. We're gonna have an incredible moment together as a family in communion where we remember the ability that we have not to be religious, but to have a real relationship that we can carry with us in our day-to-day life. And I'm so thankful that we're able to do that this morning. If you would do me the honor and privilege, would you guys stand up? Would you guys begin to walk forward and take the communion elements? In just a few moments, we're going to take communion together as a family. If you're physically able, would you stand to your feet? And we're just gonna take a few moments and do this personally. I'll lead us corporately, but we can do this personally. I'm going to give you a moment here to bow your head and pray and say, Lord, I today remember what you actually came and gave us access to do, which is to have not just a form of a relationship, but an actual relationship. And you did so by the sacrificing of your body to be broken. And you also did it by the shedding of your blood. The blood is, I can't tell you how significant the blood of Jesus is. And some churches try to squash the idea of talking about the blood of Jesus as though it's going to intimidate new people or new believers on what is the blood of Jesus all about. And I want you to know at our church, we don't hide the blood of Jesus in the corner. We bring it to the forefront because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so this morning we remember his body bruised and broken and his blood shed for our relationship. And so with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, would you take the bread? And would you just take a few seconds and say, Lord, I thank you for the body that was broken, not just for the world, but it was broken for me. Now, would you take the juice that represents the blood of Jesus, and would you just take, again, just a few moments, and before you drink it, I want you to say, Lord, I remember what you came and shed that blood for the remission of my sins. Would you pray now? Lord, we thank you. And this morning we remember. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, you may be seated. So Paul is walking through this once incredible city in Athens named Mars Hill. And Athens had once been the intellectual and cultural center of the world. It was home to philosophers like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. Its democracy, architectural, military victories, and influence had made it one of the greatest civilizations that had ever existed. Yet by the time the Apostle Paul walked into that city, he arrived around AD 50, and Athens is no longer the dominant world power. The city is still famous, but the Roman Empire now rules the world. And standing amid these incredible temples and monuments and the incredible architecture that is found in Greece, he's begins to remind the Athenians of the truth that they had largely forgotten, that nations may rise and nations may fall, but God remains sovereign over them all. So I read this context of this scripture because it's important for us to know as Americans that American is not sovereign, God is. And here's what Acts chapter 17 through 26 through 27 says. So he's beginning to tell the Athenians, I want you to know about your country, about the things that you care about, that these idols are not the things that are gonna turn your nation around. It's recognizing who's sovereign and who's not. And here's what Paul says about nations. He says, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Do you think God cares about borders? Do you think God understands the idea of nations? I'll read it again. For one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. But God did so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him. I want you to notice the progression here this morning. God makes the nations. The nations don't make God. God is sovereign above all. We're thankful for this wonderful country, but our national identity is not an accident of history, because every people group ultimately traces its origins to God's creative work. So the progression is that God, he makes the nations of the world. And the Bible says that he doesn't only make the nations, the Bible says that God appoints their times. Every nation has a beginning, a season of influence, and every nation has an end. Egypt had its day. Assyria had its day. Babylon had its day. Greece had its day. Rome had its day. No nation is eternal, but God is eternal. So the progression that Paul writes is he says that God makes the nations and God appoints their times, and then God establishes their boundaries. Geography, opportunity, resources, and influences are ultimately under God's sovereign authority, not merely human achievement. And what we have to know about this wonderful country that we live in is that God has a purpose for every nation. And the moment that the people group of that nation begin to stand outside of God's purpose for that nation will cease to exist, because God creates nations for his glory. Here's verse number 27 again. God did this. Why did God birth America? God did this so that they would seek him. It's the reason why we're able to live in this incredible country and this grand experiment for the last 250 years, and the blessings that we have on this nation. It's not because it wasn't just a good idea of the founding fathers. It's because God breathed on those founding fathers to create an environment where God's hand would rest on a nation. And God did this. Why did God do this? So that this nation would seek him. God's goal has never been to simply create powerful nations. God's goal, according to the Apostle Paul, was to create powerful nations so that there could be powerful opportunities for people to know God. For 250 years, God has allowed this nation to exist. He has blessed it with extraordinary freedoms, resources, and influence. But the ultimate question isn't whether America has been prosperous or powerful. Those questions are undenied. But the question is have we used those blessings to seek God and to make him known? Acts chapter 17, this incredible story, and I challenge you to go home and read it this afternoon when you begin to pray for our nation again. Acts 17 reminds us that America is not the center of history. God is. Nations come and go, but God's kingdom endures forever. And as we celebrate 250 years of our nation, our prayers shouldn't simply be, God bless America. Our prayers should be, America, seek the God who gave you your time, your place, and your opportunity. I am thankful to live in this incredible nation that has glorified God. And we have to begin to change the prayer of our nation from, God bless America. We should pray that, but we should also add to it, Lord, let America seek the God who gave us the time and the place and the opportunity to literally be the number one sender of missionaries and the gospel all over the world, especially these last 100 years. And for that, I'm thankful to live in the United States of America, because it's a nation that has honored God. Would you give the Lord a big round of applause in this place? If we're not careful, the good things that God places in our lives, the blessings, can become idols. You know that anything that I place before God becomes an idol? Some of us, we try to look to our spouse as a source of our joy and our happiness. And the moment that we put that pressure on our spouse, what we do is we make our spouse an idol before God. Some of us, we try to live vicariously through our children. And if we're not careful and we put our children as a source of our happiness and our joy and our peace, if we're not careful, our children will become our idols. Some of us put money or finances or careers, and we put that as the source of our happiness. And if we're not careful, the blessings that God has given us will become the idols in our lives in the same way that our spouses and our children and our jobs can become idols, so can the very nation that we live in if we're not careful. The Bible says that in the last days in the book of Romans, that we will serve the creation rather than the creator. We will bless the things that were blessings in one generation have now became places of bondage in the next. And I'm thankful this morning that I live in a country that I'm able to say this. The freedom that we have to worship God outside of the tyranny of government. And we recognize this morning at Parkway that our source is not found in a politician or a political party or even a system of government. But our freedom truly comes and is derived from the fact, as our founding forefathers said, that we have a creator who's given us inalienable rights. And I'm thankful that we live in a freedom, and we have the freedom this morning to be able to proclaim Jesus as the source of this nation. And if you believe that, would you give the Lord a big round of applause? And we're so thankful for it. And so as I say often, and I also get made fun of sometimes when I say this, I know you're tracking with me this morning, all right? There's gonna be a t-shirt made, Robert, right, that says, are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? I know you're tracking with me this morning. We recognize where these gifts come from. And as we close this service today, and as we have our second barbecue of the weekend, or we have a God nap this afternoon because we need one because we ate so much food yesterday. I don't know what your plans are today, but before we leave outside this room, I want us as a church to pray for this wonderful nation. But I don't want us to pray with the lens of God, would you continue to bless this nation, where we just ask God to do it for us again. But when we say and we pray this morning, but God, would you allow the heart of this nation to return to the heart of their Father, their Heavenly Father, where we're not just asking God to bless America, but Lord, as Americans, we wanna bless God. We wanna bless the person who has not just given us this creation of this incredible country, but we wanna bless the creator of the blessing, because we know that our job is not to worship the creation, it's to worship the creator. So would you stand all across this room, and would you prepare your hearts just for the next few moments? If you're next to a spouse, a loved one, a family, if you're next to a friend, I'm gonna invite you for the next few moments to huddle with them. And it's not gonna be long this morning, but I want us to pray together as a church family that God would allow the American's heart to be captured again, not by what he's created, but by the creator who created it. So I'm gonna give you a few minutes of leeway, and then I'm gonna get up and close our service. Would you huddle together with your family, with some friends, and would you begin to pray for this incredible nation that God has gifted and given us? And would you begin to pray now?
Trust.
Heavenly Father, our hearts are turned to you as a church, as we represent a community, a county, a state. Lord, that we're not asking you this morning just to bless us, just to bless us. We want to bless you. We want our actions and our thoughts and our attitudes to honor everything that you do and you stand for. And we thank you for this appointed time as a wonderful country in this world to be the forerunners of the gospel all over this world. And we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be your hands and feet. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. You guys can remain standing. Give me like 60 seconds of your time. The ushers are gonna be at the doors with the offering buckets. If you've came prepared to give, literally what we do on a weekly and monthly basis cannot be done without the faithful support of the people of God. And so the ushers are gonna be standing there. I wanna thank you for your giving. If you did not come prepared to give today via check or cash, we also can give online or text to give. Next Sunday is gonna be an incredible Sunday. Dr. Sam Huddleston is gonna be here. You do not wanna miss it. He's an incredible speaker with an incredible story. So make sure you come and invite a friend. If you will invite a lost friend or family member, they will get saved next week. God's anointing is on this man, and he's gonna do an incredible job. Last but not least, I cannot express to you how much this band has done an incredible job today with the limited tools that they were given, because we had some things that were going on. If you know anything about, you know, worship teams or bands, they literally have not had any in-ear monitors or monitors at all, and they're playing off of the stuff that they hear overhead. And for them to do what they've done this morning with excellence has been incredible. And so make sure you slap these guys high five and tell them they did a good job and give them a big round of applause. And thank you guys for your grace and your mercy today for allowing us to be able to do this. Next Sunday, you don't want to miss it. We're going to have an incredible time. Church family, we love you. We'll see you. God bless you. Have a good week. See you at Family Camp.